Well, we're going to talk today, of all things, about peace in the storm. Tell somebody next to you, peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. And the Lord gave me a spontaneous song this morning. Did you enjoy that? It doesn't matter how big the storm is. And in that, there was three storms mentioned, and I mentioned that before, but there's three storms. The dove coming with the olive branch and landing in Noah's hand is the peace that was saying, I made a covenant now. We're not going to destroy the earth with water. Next time it will be, he'll redo the whole thing with fire and start over with a new heaven and earth. But well, it was a big storm. And then the next one was after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. And he said to Thomas, put your hand in my side and put your hand in my hands there and see that it's me. And it doesn't matter how big the storm is in your life. And lastly, of course, when God comes to make the new heaven and the new earth, and he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that's the call, the Spirit of the bride say, come. We're going to get into this in a minute, but there was I heard a story a while back about a young boy. He was standing barefoot, kind of dirty feet, in front of a shoe store, and it was cold outside, and a lady walked up, and he was staring in the window, and a lady walks up to him and says, hi, son, where's your shoes? Do you have any shoes? And she said, well, my daddy's sick, but he said that when he gets better and gets back to work, he's going to buy me some shoes. And the lady, whose heart was really moved, and she just said to him, come with me. And he walked him into the shoe store and asked the clerk, could you get me a damp towel, you know? And he did, and she washed his feet, this little boy. Could you get me three nice pairs of socks, warm socks? And he went and got the socks and said, would you find the best pair of shoes you can get? And he came out with a wonderful pair of shoes, and they put them on the boy. And he got so excited, he just ran out the door. And she said, well, some people say thank you in different ways. And then he came back in. And he looked up at her. He came in and he hugged her. You know, he's shorter and he's holding on to her leg. And he looks up in her face and he said, are you God's wife? She said, no, I'm his child. I knew you must be related to him. Peace in a storm. I want us to look at John 14:27. I'll have some scriptures up there. I'm just going to declare them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. The world, you got to have everything totally calm and everything on the outside. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. I'm going to give you peace on the inside. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In me. Say that. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. John 4:8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. We're going to do the next one in just a minute. I just feel like welled up in my heart. Let's go ahead and lift our heads to the Lord. Father God, where peace has not been in the lives of those gathered here and those watching the video eventually, Father, I just declare peace. Peace, peace, the peace of God that passes understanding. Guard the heart and mind. Come in and peace, the dominion of your peace, come in. We praise you, Lord, for your peace. We praise you, Lord, that you bought it. It's paid for. It's ours to enjoy as we are in you. And we declare peace. Now we declare it over our territory. We declare the peace of God over the land. We declare it in Jesus' name. There you go. Let's lift our hearts and hands and thank him for it. Peace. Peace to blanket the U.S. of A. Peace, peace come, peace come. All the ploys and plots of the adversary be cast down. Peace of God come in the midst of the storms here. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everybody say it. Prince of Peace. The very next part of the next verse says, in Isaiah 9:7, first part there, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. Here's a key. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 32:17, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. The result of righteousness. Now, by the way, righteousness is real simple. Righteousness, there's none righteous, no, not one. Even Ted here had to have Jesus. Even Ted had to have Jesus. Even Ann, oh my gosh, even Ann had to have Jesus to be put right in front of God. Righteousness means right standing in front of God. You have to have Jesus put you right in front of God. He goes, hey, you know those things you did wrong? Yeah, I took it on me. Now you're free from that. Hallelujah. And the whole reason he did it is to take all that fear and selfishness out of you and put love and trust in you toward Father God. God himself was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the word to himself, the world to himself. God the Father initiated this thing. He says, we're going to go get him back. We're going to go get you back. Tell the person next to you, he loves you more than you knew. So the result of righteousness is quietness and trust forever. And I put these here together, these next ones. Isaiah 48:22 and Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Let's look at wicked. Wicked means this. It's Rashaw. It means criminal, guilty one, guilty of crime, hostile to God, guilty of sin against God or man, morally wrong, an actively bad person, condemned, ungodly, wicked men that do wrong, having an unrighteous cause, guilty, liable of punishment, guilty of death. Let me go ahead and say, before you say, yeah, those wicked people, let me go invite you to understand, yes, you and I. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have no righteousness above the wicked except what Jesus has given to you and me. If you think you have righteousness above the wicked, then you have self-righteousness. And self-righteousness is filthy rags in front of God. We only have his. Paul said, not that I would have a righteousness of my own, but I would have the righteousness of Christ that he gives me. And it's not just a declaration. It's a lifestyle that you begin to live in. And the real proof of it is that you begin to live it out in your life. That's the reason Jesus came. So wicked people are put in right standing with God by putting their faith in Jesus. And true peace comes through Jesus. Now I want to look at this next part. So that's the peace of God, the peace of God. How many of you have experienced the peace of God in times when everything was wrong? See, that's the promise of Jesus to us. When everything is wrong and there's a storm, and the word storm, it literally, I just looked it up. I love this, man, a storm. Can you believe this definition? A disturbance of the normal condition of the atmosphere. A storm is a disturbance of the normal condition of the atmosphere. Physically, weather-wise, that means forceful winds, possibly accompanied with rain or hail and lightning and such. And you know what this does. I'll go ahead and say it up front here. A storm can alter the identity of a landscape. The verb can be used like desert storm. The verb form is to rage or complain with violence or to rush in assault or attack, to come in like a storm. To come in like a storm, emotional storm, can be like that. And so we just saw this beautiful little video a few minutes ago, and it was how on that day the evening had come, and they said, let's go across the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in a boat, and just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling up. Now, this storm is happening on the outside. It's coming down upon them. This is not a storm on the inside. It's a storm on the outside. But it's trying to get on the inside. It's trying to fill up the boat. It's trying to sink them. The point is, storms can cause you to feel threatened that you're going to lose something precious. Lose your life. Lose something. There's a storm raging in the land. Something is going to be taken. No, 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 no. Just ask yourself, are you with Jesus or not? Are you with Jesus? Are you with Jesus? Are you committed to Jesus? In this outward storm around us, are you near Him? What do you do to maintain nearness to Him? So, it is your relationship with Jesus that when things go from bad and they worsen, and your heart can be tempted to be fearful, it's at that moment when your proximity and woven heart relationship with Jesus is of the utmost. Amen? So he was in the stern. He was asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And he woke and rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. "You're afraid. Why are you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind should obey him?" And this is my, this is not the main thing, but this is a small thing within the main thing. Let me just say, everybody listen very closely and clearly, because I think the Lord during communion could actually release some things here. What are the words that are coming out of your mouth these days? What are the words? What's the spirit of the words that are coming out of your mouth? Jesus said, "My words are spirit in their life." I just want you to do something with me. Let's take Jesus' words right now. Peace, be still. And let's say them several times. Ready? Peace, be still. Say them to your spirit. Peace, be still. Say it to your soul. Peace, be still. Say it to your house. Peace, be still. Say it to the atmosphere around you. Peace, be still. There is life in repeating the words of Jesus Christ. There may be some of you today say, "Lord, I want to repent for what I have been saying," because you can repeat the words of fear. How many of you have fallen prey to repeating the words of something that created fear and then smote your own heart when you said it? Are you there? The Lord wants to overthrow that today. It's very important. He wants to, man, I just feel like the life of the Spirit in me dealing with it. The Lord cherishes you so much, He doesn't want any fear even tempting to rule your soul, any at all. He wants you to be completely under His absolute government of peace. His government of peace will be, there's no end to it. If you get a gush of wind from the world, just turn to Jesus and say, just turn to Him, turn to Him, turn to Him. This is wisdom. This is simple wisdom. Simple wisdom that will steward your soul with stability and security before the Lord. And you will not be tossed to and fro and beat around. You will be secure because of the words, the spirit of the words that you say coming out of your mouth are so important to the Lord and to you. Your life depends upon the power of the words that come out of your mouth. It depends upon it. Everybody say it again. Peace, be still. We have another situation here. It's just a little bit different. In Acts, this is so totally cool. I love this. Now, I was going to get into the story. I realized this would just be a whole message and go on and on and on. So this is this. Acts 27, Paul. How many of you remember the storm that Paul got? Shipwrecked. Well, here's the point. It's like 2 or 3 days, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's just gotten where these are experienced sailors, and they're freaking out. They're like, "This is crazy." Paul stands up, and he says something about, you should have listened to me when we started, because he had a sense in the spirit. But this is what he ends up comforting them. He says, "Now I beg you to cheer up, because you will be safe. And only ship will be lost." Now listen to these words. Listen to these words. "I belong to God and I worship Him." This is Paul. Experienced sailors are totally coming apart. And he stands there and says, "I worship God. I belong to Him." He says, "Last night, He sent an angel to me And he said, don't be afraid, Paul. You will stand before the emperor, and because of you, this is, and because of you, Paul, it takes a humble guy to say this stuff. And because of you, I'm going to save all the lives of everybody on this ship. And this is a point. This is a point. This is such an interesting, powerful point. Because of you, believer in Jesus Christ, that unbelievers will be saved because of you. You walking in, I belong to Jesus, I worship him, and because of you, others will turn and their lives will be saved forever in Christ because of you. And their whole life will be shipwrecked, but they will rise up and they will live. Everything can be torn and tossed and destroyed, but because of you. Just put your hand on your heart. Tap it a little bit. Tap it a little bit. Say, because of me, Jesus, I'm going to be that. That's what I am. I'm going to be like that. That's me. I'm going to, because of me, others. Because of me, others. I will walk with you, Lord. Because of me, others will be saved. Others will be saved. Come on, because of me. Because I belong to God. And I worship God. This is what's wonderful. God speaks to his own when the storms are raging. Have you had a time when things are just completely out of sorts and it's all crazy, it's all nuts, it's all goofy, but then you just make sure that you end up in his presence by yourself alone listening? Then you should. Because peace won't come from the world, but it will come from him. Have you had a time, let me start over, have you had a time when everything is cluttery and confused and all this, and you took the time to settle your heart before him to listen? Hello. Okay, so it's not really yes. I didn't get like, yes, Pastor. Yes, I do that. Okay, I'm going to do that, Pastor. Yes, I'm going to do that. Because it's been tossing and turning. And you're telling me to do it now, and I'm going to do it now. Hey, it's just if you want your peace or not. Dear Lord, do you want peace in the midst of a storm? Then listening to his voice, one little whisper, and then you come inside of that. You go, yes, yes. The way that, let me go ahead and say this for a minute. The way the Lord, at least I've learned over the period of my life, just a tender little quickening, a little, I'll tell you what, everybody just humor me here. Let's say, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is my desire to heed your whispers, the impressions, the word pictures, the subtle communications, that I would grow very sensitive to your voice, because your voice has authority over all storms. Help me hear you. I want to be led by you. I want to know the sweetness of your voice. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at this. Storms are a disturbance of the normal condition of the atmosphere. I put this up here. There are storms that happen, next one, there are storms that happen to you from outside of you, right? But also, there are storms that happen in and through you. How many of you know that? I call these self-inflicted. Self-inflicted storms. I'm not going to read the passage, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you that in the Bible, Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35, it references the storm that an addict creates. A person addicted to alcohol is mentioned in Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. But it also lays the foundation for anyone whose life is in a storm because of an addiction or, as I said, a self-inflicted storm. Infidelity creates a storm for someone else. Deception creates a storm for someone else. Violent outbursts create a storm for someone else. Abandonment is the damage of a storm. Rejection is the damage of a storm. Bitterness is the damage of a storm. I'm aware of those who, through no fault of their own, experienced a storm coming upon them by someone else, and then them being left to pick up all the pieces and tend to the damage. Because a storm can come into your life by somebody else and literally change the identity of the landscape. The damage can be so severe that in the lives of many, they presently carry the emotional debris of a storm that happened a long time ago. If you carry the debris presently of a storm that happened last year, the year before, the year before, the year before, Jesus is here for you today. This is what he's about today. How do you recover from a storm? That devastates your heart. Here you've given your heart to someone. Let's say that. You've given your heart to someone, and then they just devastate it. How many of you have gone through that kind of thing? There's a way that your heart can be repaired, can be risen up, because it's Jesus is the one that restores the damage from storms that happen in us. And this is why. And this is important to understand this. Jesus went through the greatest storm on the cross. Every sin that created disturbance and damage to the heart of man, every storm that was born out of hostility to God and man, literally stormed Jesus. All storms of sin converged on Jesus at the cross. And because he experienced the ultimate damage that the storm of sin can bring, this is the heartbeat of the gospel, that he could relate to the broken aftermath of a damaged life. Jesus Christ comes to where a storm has destroyed. There are people that picked up the storm and continued it. Learned the way of being a stormer. They were stormed upon, and then they became the carrier of a wicked, evil, sinful storm. That's why it's so important to say the words, "Peace, be still," and Jesus work in the human heart. Because there are things that rob your peace. By the way, I want you to know this. I did not plan to say that there are those of you whose storms happened too, and you took on the spirit of that storm. The Holy Spirit intercepted me. You may have had a very damaged thing happen to you, and that storm is still happening in you. You know how some storms happen? Some storms are like this. I can't believe God let that happen to me. That's a storm. Because I'm telling you right now, from the Word of God, that God didn't make it happen. He gave free will to man. And free will means this: you can choose to be kind or not. You can choose to love. Love is all about you. God doesn't control who loves or not. This is the most amazing thing that I'm learning deeply about the Lord. Ultimately, it's this. There's going to be two kinds of people, just basically two kinds of people. The ones that go be with him forever and the ones that don't. And it all boils down to this. The one that goes to be with him says, "Thy will be done." And the one that doesn't says this, "My will be done." It's that simple. And so then God doesn't cast anybody in hell. They choose it. And God says, "I gave you the opportunity to say my will." And then God looks at him and says, brokenheartedly. Let me tell you this. God has no desire to punish anybody. None. None. He doesn't have a desire to punish anybody. You know why I know that? Because all of it was poured out on Jesus. Why would he want to do that to anybody? And Jesus said, look, here's what happened. The connection, the disobedience, the choices, the choosing selfishness was all broken through the first person that you created, and they cut themselves off by believing a lie about you, and now we're all born into this crazy lie. And God goes, how can we solve this? Of course, he knew. So he comes in the form of a man, and he comes and he lives, fulfills the perfect life, and then offers himself for us so that he can just simply do this, reconnect us to him and pour his love into us again and restore us to him. And he wants to do that, and no matter what the storm that you faced in your life is, he wants to reconcile you to him and break the power of what the debris of that storm has done in your life. He's so good at that. He's so good at that. So I would like us to take our communion. This is cool because I've had moments where the Holy Spirit will highlight something to me. When he highlights to me, I realize that he loves me. I'm going to come over here to you, John, and just maybe use you as an example. Has Jesus ever thrown your sin up in your face? Would you say, no, never? So he doesn't have a thing about condemnation. So Jesus doesn't put guilt on you. So Jesus doesn't put condemnation on your soul. Then what does he give you? Love. So Jesus, knowing all this bad stuff that you've done willfully, that you willfully did things knowing they were wrong in front of him, and he forgave you of that? Every bit of it. Now, why would he do such a thing like that? Because he loves you. How do you know that? I'm going to go ahead and give you a hint. He got up on the cross for you there. Everybody say the cross is the unconditional love of God being expressed to you and me. How many of you would like to have more of the love? How many of you would like to have all bitterness, any residual of damage from a previous storm in your life washed out of your life? How many of you would like Jesus to rebuild the insides of you to reflect the new beauty of who you are to him truly? How many of you like that? Let's lift our heads and just praise him just a little bit. Just praise him. Thank you, Lord. He's in the room. The Lord's Spirit is hovering. He's going to do the things that he loves to do because he loves to take people that aren't fully convinced of his love and fully convince them. This is who Jesus is. Jesus says, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to take the worst thing that happened to you and I'm going to cause it to be a blessing to you. I'm going to release something in your life that changes you because I am the God who works all things together for good to those who love me and are called according to his purpose. He says, I cherish you with everlasting love. I'm going to bring you out of the depths of hurt. Jesus is going to touch something right now. Right now. Right now. That past storm, the Lord's, he's highlighted it to me, honey. It's happening. You're letting it go. Jesus steps into where all the debris and all the brokenness and all those things, and he goes, well, we got some work to do here. We're gonna raise up a new people out of this devastated, torn up place. We're going to rebuild the walls that were broken down. We're going to cause people to rise out of it to bring glory to God. We're going to cause everything that went wrong to be a doorway through my glory to come forth. Everything that was of hell will be of God's goodness. And the devil is so upset over that. If he'd have known that the crucifixion, that he would rise from the dead, he'd have never got involved. But he still doesn't get it, that God comes to a person like you and me, and the devil says, I got them, they're down for the count. And then God starts seeding his hope into your heart, and you start rising. He goes, I don't get it. He doesn't get life. Satan doesn't get love. He doesn't get that. He doesn't know about that. The power of God's love to enter into your heart and raise you up. He doesn't wrap his heart around that. He's in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend the light of Jesus coming. Where would you and I be if Jesus didn't make all things new? You see, I hated myself. I hated myself. And I did things that were destructive to myself. And I was stuck in a place of doing that over and over. And God loved me in spite of me, because he saw something I couldn't see. He says, I'm coming after you, boy. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you, Roger. I have a purpose with your life, and I'm coming after you. How many of you? He's coming after you. He's coming after you. Jesus said, take my body. This is the body of my new covenant. Take it and eat in remembrance of me. It's the nature of Jesus. It's the character of Jesus. It's the sellout heart of Jesus. He says, this is what this means, Jamie. It means this. Jamie, when you eat this, I just want you to know I sold out to get you. I sold everything out. I sold out all I am to come after you. All that I am, I come after you. Everything in me, take and eat. It's a reminder that I gave everything. Hallelujah. And you're going to be so happy when you say, I give you everything too. And he says, then let's go to the altar and get married. And you be my bride. Yes, I am. Do you take me to be your lawfully wedded Lord of Lords and King of Kings? I do. Will you take me to be your bride forever and ever? I do. I'm not very good at it. Oh, I'll help you. You'll see. You'll hear my little whisper in your ear. You'll desire to do things you never could. I'm going to cause you to do things you didn't know you could do. I'm going to give you the ability to do what you couldn't do. How many of you know that's my Jesus? Now just say this, Father God, it is my heart's desire that the debris of the past storm be swept away with all its bitterness, all of its abandonment, all of its sin, all of its harm. And right now, I plant this, the body of Jesus, into my soul as the seed of complete restoration of my life unto your glory. In Jesus' name, let's take it. If you think that tastes weird, wait till you taste this. Oh my gosh. That's why we'll get back to the other stuff. By the way, did you guys happen to know that Welch's, the reason Welch's grape juice was actually created historically? for communion so people who were alcoholics wouldn't have to drink wine. That was the reason they created it. That was the reason the Welch's created their company, so that alcoholics could have communion with grape juice. What a glorious foundation of a company. But here we have, I don't know what's in here, but it's purple. Now, this is the power of the blood. This is the point. Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. When an ancient Israelite had sinned, they would come up and they would bring an offering like a goat or something. And then they would put their hand on the head of that goat and they would say that all their sins were imparted to that goat. And then what did they do? They took a knife and they slit the throat of the goat. What does that do? When you cut an artery, it causes the blood to now not circle in the body. And when the blood doesn't circulate in the body, death occurs. It's a symbol that you and I, because we have sinned, have cut the life flow of our life. It's the principle of how we're designed. When we sin over and over and over, it cuts the life flow and it causes us to drain and die. And Jesus says, I've come to give healing to you, and I've come to restore you, because I'm going to pour my blood into your life and restore you and give you life again. We were dead, but now we're alive in Him. So let's just declare life. Say that with me, life. Life in Jesus' name. Life in Jesus' name. Say forgiveness to the blood. The power to forgive. I receive it all. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Wasn't that bad, was it? You might say yes later, I'm not certain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One last thing. And then we're going to head on out. Would you raise your right hand, so to speak? Just raise your right hand. I'm going to say a phrase, and you say with your right hand, I take that. Okay? Newness of life in Christ Jesus. I take that. Everlasting peace. Love abounding, I take that. Complete forgiveness, I take that. Power to live over my struggles, I take that. Physical healing, I take that. Emotional healing, I take that. The ultimate power to forgive any and all who've hurt me, I take that. Say, in Jesus' name, I take that. Amen. Let's stand together. I want you to continue with me to just declare peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. Peace be still. Well, Father God, thank you for every heart here. I thank you for the being the God that comes in where the damage, we used to be damaged goods. Those old bent up old cans in the grocery store that are thrown into a cart cheap, because they're damaged. But you come and said, no, I want those. I want those. I'm going to make the greatest meal ever. And Father, we thank you for coming into our life, coming as putting new shoes on our feet, causing us to be filled with the peace of God. We thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on every family. Amen.